Faith begins with the Word of God. Do you see that word begins? Begins, begins. You know, if I write my children a note, and I say, turn on the roast, and they come in, and they read that note, and it says, turn on the roast, then they have to act or respond to what they know. The beginning was the note. The beginning was the word I gave to them, turn on the roast. Now, if I come home and the roast is still in the pot and it's not done because they didn't turn it on, it wasn't that they didn't read the note. I said, did you read my note? Oh, done that myself, haven't you? He said, I forgot. I've left home. I'm going to do three things. And I get out there and I had a note at the house. I wrote them down. Publix, three things going to buy. Usually going by for dog food somewhere else. And then a third thing. But I forgot my note. Have you ever done that? I thought, I know I was going to do something else. I know. You know, the minute you drive up into your garage, you remember. It comes to you. We are out of dog food. The note was the beginning. I hold the note dear to me. You know why I wrote the note? Because they were important errands. I didn't want to forget these errands, so I wrote them down. When I get out in my car, I want to do all of these things. I want to fulfill the commission that's on the note. But it's more than the note. I've got to have a note. I've got to have a word from God. But I've got to act and respond to that word. Now look at Matthew chapter 14. Faith begins. We're going to talk about where it begins. But there's a fulfillment of faith. There is a victory that comes through this beginning. You've got to have the beginning, but the beginning can't be the ending. This is Peter walking on the water. He doesn't actually know if he should walk on the water or not. He said when he saw Jesus walking on the water, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee upon the water. And that's chapter 14, verse 28. He doesn't know, so he asked. You remember that wonderful verse in James 1:5, any lack wisdom, let him ask. You know, some things are clear in the scripture. I don't have to wonder. I'm short of money today. I think I'll steal some. You know the latest crime rage? Let me fill you in. It's purses at cemeteries. People that go to cemeteries, go to see a tombstone, go to put flowers, go to a funeral, always leave their car unlocked. The majority of them. And then the thief goes through while you're at the casket, while you're listening to the preacher say its final word, goes from car to car, takes three purses, and is out of there. Isn't that sneaky? What if I decided, you know, that's a good way to get money? You wouldn't be looking. You probably got plenty of money anyway. But see, I have the word of the living God on the inside. I have the Old Testament says, thou shalt not steal. So I know that's forbidden. I know I don't want to do that. My conscience convicts me because I have eternal life on the inside. And I have the New Testament. All of the Old Testament law are summed up in the New Testament law. One law in the New Testament, one and only one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love says love works no ill to its neighbor. Well, that would work ill to you if I stole your purse, if I stole your money. It would inconvenience you. It might make you run really short of paying your bills or meeting your need. And so I would never do that. But I have the word of the living God. See, now that example is very, very clear. But there are other things. We have the word of the living God. Faith begins where the will is known. The will is in the word. Now we have a will. And when we're gone, they'll read our will. They'll know exactly what we want to do. We're on family land, and one priority is that the first option, if our children do not want the land, that the first option go to other family members, that they have the first bid on the land, and that the land go for market value. That's only fair to the children. Now, they don't know that unless I've told them or I've written that down. And when they read the will, they know if we don't want this land, we're not interested if they're already settled and living somewhere else. And they don't want the land can be sold, but for 30 days, it should go to family. They should have an option to buy. You know how they know that? I told them. I told them. See, that's only the beginning, though. That's only the beginning. What you say is only the beginning. What God said is only the beginning. You've got to digest what he says. You know, you can have a table full of food and starve to death. You can have a word from your doctor. Cut down on your eating. Do not eat, and maybe a list, or eat only certain number of calories. And you see something, and you say, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to eat that. You know you can't tempt me with pecan pie. I don't like pecan pie. But there are other things. Lemon. Really, you could really tempt me with. Someone brought me a piece of lemon cake the other day. I said, oh, please. Please don't bless me. Love lemon. Well, that doctor's note, I got the note, said, did you read the note? I'm eating a piece of lemon cake. Did you read that note? Yeah, I read it. See, that note's only the beginning. My obedience to the note is next. I have to digest the note. When you eat something, you digest it. If you eat an apple, you make it a part of you. You read that note. You read the word of the living God. You find out what God wants. See, a lot of people don't know what God wants. They don't know if God wants them well or if God wants them sick, because tradition has taught some things that are ungodly, that are not consistent with the word of God. Tradition says God will teach you through sickness. But if I read the word, I know that's not right. See, and anything that's not consistent with the word, I can throw out. Now, if you have an illness, you have medical advice, or you're just taking advice from neighbors and friends, you'll get a lot of different reports. Some will tell you to do this, and some will tell you to do that, and some will tell you this will work out for you. But you've got to have the wisdom to know what will actually work. You know, I was in a, I had a skin something or other, and I was trying to decide what to do about it. I had my faith on it, but it looked like it was getting worse. And I said to the Lord, it sure would be nice if I knew what to do with this without going to the doctor. It cost me a lot of money. That's exactly what I said. So I went and had my nails polished, and the lady next door to me, she's not talking to me, she's talking to the nail technician. She said, you know, my daughter has this most unusual skin infection. So I listened. Somebody get a word from the Lord. See, he moves through people sometimes, but I've got to be wise enough to know. I had such a witness in my heart. She said, I took her to the doctor. The doctor said, do this and use that, both over the counter, certain soap, certain drug. I went right and got them. Got completely well. Didn't cost me a cent. So that's what I said to the Lord. I want to get over this without it costing me any money. Now, that won't always work, but it worked that day. But I had a word, see? But now I've got to act on the word. I've got to go get the soap, particular brand of soap the doctor said would work. I've got to go get the particular lotion. If I don't act or respond to the word doesn't help me. Well, first of all, I couldn't act or respond because the more I looked at that skin infection, the more I knew I don't know what to do. I just didn't know what to do. I mean, it's ugly. It's getting worse. I don't know what to do. I said to the Lord, what do you think? It's ugly, isn't it? It's not, it doesn't belong there, does it? I've got to know what to do. I've got to have the word of the Lord. But the word is what? The beginning. It's only the beginning. I've got to determine the will of God. That is the beginning. If you don't know that God wants you well, he does not want you sick, that sickness comes from the devil, you have not established the foundation. The foundation is the plan of God, the will of God, the program of God, the goal of God. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. That's in 3 John. That's our foundation. I wish above all things. In other words, it's a priority. In the mind and heart of God, it's a priority that we walk in health. You know why? You can't do the work of God in poor health. I know people go to the hospital, tell you the Lord sent them there because they could win the person in the bed next to them to the Lord. They could witness. But I have a hot flash for them. I don't want to be unkind or ugly, but you can go on your feet, your healed, well, and healthy body on your own personal feet and go to the bed. Go to any hospital room, and 9 out of 10, if you say, I'm praying for people today, would you like me to pray for you? We'll say yes. You don't have to be sick to witness. God can send a well person in there. And he does a lot of times. I know that as we visited people in the bed next to you, you're not even seeing them. You come to see this person, you're praying for this person, and they'll say, would you pray for me while you're here? People that are ill love prayer. They're so glad for you to speak to them. You don't have to be sick. See, I've got to know the will of God. I've got to know where faith begins. Faith doesn't begin with a sickness. Faith doesn't begin with a disease. That disease is not trying to teach you anything. You know, they say that. God wants to teach you something, so he wants you sick so you'll learn. But I found out sick people are slow learners. I don't think God's too smart if he makes you sick to teach you something, knowing that sickness is going to slow down the learning process. You know, if you have a headache, I just want to cover up, take 2 aspirin or whatever you take, cover up, say in Jesus' name, I don't want anybody to speak to me. I want the air conditioning down really low, 68 on a good day, 64 for a headache. I mean, I like it cold. I found out headache keeps me from thinking clearly. I don't even want to think clearly. I don't want to think about it. Don't you speak to me. I have a headache. It's all I can do to say in Jesus' name. Used to have migraine headaches. Had migraine headaches until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Didn't have them anymore. I've had a couple of really wonderful opportunities to have migraine. I knew they were coming. I came right to the church, drug the maintenance man out of the flower bed. Wasn't anybody else here, and had him pray for me and got totally healed. So I believe in the laying on of hands. Doesn't matter whose hands. I believe in the laying on of hands. I knew my faith in his hands would carry that thing through. I knew that was not of God. I knew God didn't try to teach me something. The devil was trying to keep me from finishing my errands for the day. One lady, she got out in her car, wouldn't crank. And she said, well, she knew that was the Lord. He was telling her, don't go anywhere today. It's not a good day to go anywhere. I said, so you've got to know. My car didn't crank. I know that somebody's trying to hinder me from fulfilling the plan of God for today. She's thinking upside down. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be. You know what the word prosperity means? It means to succeed on the road of life. It means to make a successful journey. You can't make a successful journey if your car doesn't crank. And the scripture says we're supposed to make a successful journey. If God didn't want me to go anywhere as I'm praying that morning, stirring myself up, I'd have a sense of that. I'd have a sense, I need to stay home and pray today. I need to stay home and read today. I need to stay home, load the dishwasher, and run the vacuum today. You know you can't pray all the time. You can't read all the time. You pray and read some of the time. You have other things to do. But I know that in the spirit because I belong to God. I belong to him. The Holy Ghost dwells in me. And it says the Holy Ghost, what? Teaches me. Who teaches me? Sickness teaches me?
No.
Holy Ghost teaches me. Do you know sickness isn't the teacher of the church? It's not listed anywhere as the teacher of the church. But the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Amen.
And the more alert I am, if I've eaten the right things and I've had my exercise for the day and I've got some things done that I felt like were scheduled by the Lord, then I open my Bible and I'm really ready for him to teach me, to show me. I said, show me what that means. See, I depend upon the Holy Ghost. He's the teacher. He's the one that's going to tell me what the will of God is. He's the one that's going to tell me what the word of God is. He's the one that's going to tell me what God is saying. Now, I don't have to pray, does God want me to be healed? Does he want me well? Does he want me to be sick? Just like I don't have to pray, does God want me to steal anything? I don't have to pray, does God want me to commit adultery? See, some things are already written, and all I have to do is read and believe what's written. It is written. You know, when the people of Israel got in trouble and God told them to put a snake upon a pole, and he said, everyone that looks at that would live. That was the word of the Lord. That's what God said. Everyone that looks would live. Well, you know what their part is? Is to look. And that word is to focus. It's not a casual glance. To say, oh, yeah, I see that. See, sometimes we give the word of God, we give the will of God a casual glance. Oh, yeah, I know that. No, it's focus. It's to stare. That word really means to stare. To get that snake on that pole and to stare at that. And Jesus used that very example in John chapter 3. He said, as the snake was lifted up in the wilderness, I'll be lifted up. See, it's everyone who stares at him, stares at Jesus, stares at the word, because Jesus and his word are the same. He was the word made flesh. This is not a book. She says, the word of God is living. It's alive. It's vibrant. One lady told me she was new to things of God. She says, no, you're not going to believe this. I said, well, I probably will because I am a believer. See, believers believe things. You do know believers believe. You know so many believers that doubt. But believers believe. She said, I opened my Bible and the words stood up. They kind of stood up. She said, oh, you don't believe that. I said, I believe that. See, but God was trying to teach her as a new believer, as a new Christian, that this is more than a book. It's the living word of God. Now, you know, people, I'm just not a saver person. But some people have to have, this is a note from their mother or their grandmother. And they save it and they have a special place for it. You know, it's precious to them and that's okay with me. I save a few things, but not too many. In fact, I got everything I saved in two little drawers about this long. That's true about that deep. Because I'm not a saver person. I don't have a sentimental bone in my body. But I do have a note from my grandmother that I saved. Actually, it's an envelope that she wrote to Becky Sue on, I think. And I saved the envelope because I knew she would not be with us too long, which she wasn't after that. But I'm not much of a saver person. But if you have a note that's precious to you, you save it and you put it in a special place and every now and you take it out and look at it. Joel was a blonde. You would never know that because he has such black hair. But he was a blonde. And somewhere in that little drawer we have his first curl, you know, how you do. You save that curl. And we have a picture. And we put it on the refrigerator and people will look and say, in fact, one lady did. Who is that? I says, it's Joel. She said, no, who is it? because he looks so different today, because he's very stocky and dark complected. He was very thin and very blonde when he was a little boy. See, he's changed so much. But we had that picture on the refrigerator so we could look at it, so we could remember him. And I have this book in my hand and in my heart so I can remember. And there are going to be some struggles in life. There are going to be some hard times in life. But if you have the letter of the law, if you have the book of God, if you have the fundamental principles of what God has said, and you have those in your heart, then you have the what? The beginning. You have the what? See, you haven't won because you know what God said, but you can't win if you don't know what he said. And I'm to meditate in the word till I know a lie when I hear it. Now, when Peter said to Jesus, if it be you, bid me come upon the water, it says, Jesus said, come, and he said, he came. I love that. Jesus said, come, and he came up out of the boat. Why? He acted on the word. He knew now what God wanted. He knew it was Jesus. He knew he could walk on the water. He had asked. If you lack wisdom, you ask. Some things are written. You don't have to ask about your health and healing. It's the will of God for you to be fully well and functional. Now, sometimes we have to ask why we're not fully well and functional. Sometimes we have to ask God, what do I do next? See, she stood against the surgery, and yet she had, as she thought about it, she had peace to go ahead with the surgery. See, that's the dealing of the Lord. She knows she's to be well. She knows she's to be healthy. She has the word. She reads the word night and day. But now she knows specifically how to promote her own health, what God's plan for her is by the Spirit. The word and the Spirit are always working in agreement. The word's not going to say one thing and the Spirit's going to say another. It'll never happen because there's Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Always one, always in agreement. Well, I have the word of the Lord, but have I won? No. I have the plan of God. Does that make me victorious? Going to be a lot of people in hell that knew Jesus was the Savior, knew he died for sin. They knew that. But see, they didn't act. They didn't respond. Now look at Romans chapter 10. The beginning is the word. What does God want? What does God want? And when you hear the word, you know the difference as you meditate the word in the word and deception. So I tell you, God wants you sick. You know, now that's not the word of God. If I tell you God's going to teach you through sickness, well, you can learn while you're sick, but it's not the will of God that you learn that way. He wanted to tell you before you got sick, but you weren't listening. You ever had that? Somebody told you something and you missed it. Then you got in big trouble. And you know what they say to you? Tried to tell you. Isn't that what they say? They say, I tried to tell you. But you didn't listen, see? Well, is listening going to make me victorious? No. But can I be victorious if I don't listen? So I've got to know, what has God said about my body? What has he said about my finances? What has he said about my family? What has he said about my health? What is he saying? I've got to have the will of God, and the reason to have that will is so I know what to do. Now I know what to do. I know what to say. Now look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Do you know this works for whosoever? Are you a whosoever? You know, I've told that to people and they had to think about it. I said, does all include you? And I could tell by the way they were batting their eyes, they're thinking, does all include me? Is whosoever? Is that me? Whosoever calls. Whosoever calls. Well, call is action. It's like, help! It's action. Why did you take action? You knew he was the Savior. You knew he needed his help. You knew he would save you. How should they call on him whom they've not believed? How should they believe in him whom not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? You've got to have facts or data. You either read the book yourself, you saw it on TV, somebody gave you a good book to read, somebody preached to you, gave you their testimony. You know why they didn't call on him? Why they didn't believe it? They hadn't heard it. They hadn't heard it. So you've got to hear, where's the beginning? Where does faith begin? By hearing. Where does it begin? Say begin. 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 So you've got to have the beginning. You've got to do the first works. But you can't stop there. Now Ephesians 6 is having done all. I love that phrase. Having what? Having what? Well, have you done all? See, if you haven't done all, I remember years ago they asked me to substitute for a lady that's going to be out of town, I think, and They asked me to do the Bible study, and behind the Bible study, they would spend an hour in prayer. So she had the lesson lined up, and I just taught the lesson. It was on speaking the Word of God, knowing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God over your situation along that line. And so when we came to prayer, she said, take prayer requests. So I'm following her footsteps. I said, so what would you like? And so the lady told me what she needed, and then I said, so what word are we going to speak over that? She went, she didn't have a clue. Well, can we pray in faith without the word? Can we pray the prayer of faith without the word of faith? See, she hadn't done the first thing. She hadn't done the beginning. What's the beginning? What does God say? So I asked the next one. Most of them didn't know the word. One or two did. I was so proud of them. They said, I want you to pray this way, and this is what God has to say. Let me read it to you. You don't have to quote it. Read it. Just know where it is. Put your marker there and read it. See, when I have the word, faith comes. It says faith comes by hearing. You know what that means? It must not have been there, for it came there. It wouldn't have had to come there. I quote that from somebody else. I love that quote. It says faith comes. It what?
Comes.
It what?
Comes.
Well, you know, if grandma's coming from out of town, she's coming for a visit. Children are standing in the driveway waiting and looking down the street. Why? She's coming. Grandma's coming. You know, if she's coming, she's not there yet. She wouldn't have to come there. She's already there. The reason she's coming, she's not there. Faith comes. What? See, when I get in the book, faith what?
Again.
It what?
Again.
It what?
Again.
It begins by hearing. Why didn't Peter walk on the water? He hadn't heard anything. He didn't know if he could or not. So he asked. Why didn't these people get saved? So they didn't have a preacher. They hadn't heard anything. Now you can hear. You can stop at the beginning. You can quit before you have done all. It says having what? Having what?
Done all.
See, I meditate day and night because once I hear the word of God, doesn't matter what scripture is real to you, you digest that scripture. You place that in your heart. You read it over and over again. And all through the time you're walking toward the victory, I mean toward seeing and feeling and touching the victory, you're walking with that word in your heart and you're going to hold fast to that word. You know you don't have to know everything. Some people say, maybe I don't have enough faith. And if I say I don't have enough faith, it means I don't know enough. But you know, I got saved and all I knew was John 3:16. You know, I didn't know I was going to be a new creature. Didn't have a clue. I didn't know eternal life was possessed in the very nature of God. Didn't have a clue. I didn't know eternal life was in the human spirit. Didn't even know it was a spirit. Didn't have a clue. Got saved anyway. I knew God loved me. He was my Savior, and I was a sinner. That's all I knew. And I got saved. You don't have to know everything, but you have to know one thing. Whether you know He sent His word and healed me, or you know by His stripes I was healed. If it's your finances, you know, beloved, wish above all things that I prosper. Or the wonderful scripture was quoted a while ago, God has pleasure in giving His children the kingdom. You read the book of Revelation, there's things in the kingdom. There's stuff for God's people. Well, now look at this. Verse 15. But they have not all, 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. So they had the gospel. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by hearing what Mama said, Aunt Betty said, Uncle John said, unless they're quoting the word of God, unless they're preaching the word of God, unless they're giving to you the principle of the word of God. That's the purpose of the first Psalm. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some things people are saying to you are not what God is saying. So I just say, see you later. Some things you can't even say, well, thanks for sharing that. You think, could have spared me that. Have they not heard? That's where I'm headed. Have they not heard? Where does faith begin? It begins by hearing. It begins where the will of God is known. It begins where the word of God is known. Did they hear? Have they not heard? Yes. You know, Israel's talking about Israel. Israel heard, but she failed. She heard, but she failed. She heard, but she failed. She heard, but she didn't succeed. The first time she came to the promised land, did she know God had said, I'd give you that promised land? They did know. God had said it for centuries. He said Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He said it several times through Moses. Israel knew that that was the promised land, and they had heard that. They had heard that. They had heard. See, faith only begins with what you hear. Now, if they had come to that land and God had never, ever spoken about that land, they'd have been presumptuous to try to cross the Jordan and to get into that land and to conquer it. The reason they knew that belonged to them and they could proceed forward is because God had spoken. See, God has spoken. That's why I ask you what verse of scripture you have in your mind, you have in your heart. What is God saying to you? See, God gives, He knows you. He knows what's real to you. He knows your background, your mother, your daddy, how many hairs on your head, what educational level you had. He knows what part of the country you come from. He knows what vocabulary would be real to you. You know, if God talks to me about computers and gives me a computer example, He knows He's going to lose me. I'm not going to get it. I don't even know how to turn the thing on. He isn't going to say, now, you know, Becky, just like the computer. He would say that to Wayne. He would say that to our daughter. He would say that to some other people that are computer literate. But because I'm not computer literate, that's not a good example for me. And God knows me well enough to know how to communicate with me. He'd talk to me about sewing. I used to sew. Or He'd talk to me about horseback riding. Or something that I was familiar with. See, He knows you. He's going to communicate with you. Why? Because He wants faith to begin. He's going to give you a scripture that would be real to you. It may not be the same scripture I'm standing on. The scripture you're standing on to get your health may be a different scripture than I'm standing on for my health to be fulfilled. Because God knows me. He knows me. This person I know called me and she wanted some help with an art project, which I'm not an art person at all, but Wayne is. And so he agreed to help her with the art project. And she was trying to reach a child that had some particular disabilities. And she said, they will love this. They will love this. They will understand this. They will get this. Well, we had had a previous conversation about this same child. Months before, she had called so frustrated and said, I don't know how to help them. I'm just absolutely ready to give up and recommend they have another teacher or another outlet. She said, I just am absolutely floored. I can't do anything further. And so when she called and said, they will love this. They will get this. They will understand. I said, is this that same kid we were talking about months before that you said would never get anything and you couldn't teach anything and you were exhausted with, need to be moved somewhere else and life was over for him and there was no further, no reason to go on? Yes. She said, this is the same one. What happened? What happened? She began to ponder. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She began to ponder. See, there's hope or help for you if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't relinquish the word. Instead of giving up and backing up, she held them, thinking, what to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. See, if I just hold the word of God, if I just hold it, I just hold it. So this is my Bible. And by the stripes of Jesus, it says I was healed. And maybe it doesn't seem like it. Maybe it doesn't look like it. But thus saith the Lord. Faith begins there. And if I hold the word to my heart and keep quoting that word, and then I say, now what do I do? What do I do? My favorite example, I was invited to a birthday party, and it was just about three or four people, and they said, we're just making this really, really small, her closest friends, and would you please come? And I said, sure. Well, I got up that morning sick. I mean, I was really sick. I wasn't sort of sick, almost sick. I was really sick. So I'm going to the phone and call and tell them I can't come. But I kept thinking about saying we're making this party very, very small. And so it's real important that you come. And I had committed. Well, I hated to cancel. You know, if there had been 30 people coming, I'd have said, you know, I just really am not up to it. I got stirred myself up. What does God say? What's the will of God? The fact that I know by His stripes I'm healed will not heal me. The fact that I know He sent His word will not heal me. The fact that I know, surely He hath borne our grief, sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrows, pain of punishment. The fact that Peter knew he's supposed to get out of the boat is not going to make him victorious. He's got to get out of the boat. And it had to be a big ship since he came down out of it. You don't come down out of a rowboat. You don't come down out of a fishing boat. He said he came down. It was a big boat. Sea of Galilee is a big place. He came down out of that boat. He's got to act on the word. Faith what? And I take that word and I just hold it fast. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. So I said to myself, well, since I'm healed, I'll just go to the party. I could hardly get dressed, could hardly put my shoes on. I thought, my, you know, my head said, you are crazy, you are crazy, you are just crazy. But my heart said, act on the word. You know what you believe. You know what God has done. So I went. Long, narrow restaurant. Restrooms are back there. They gave us the Father's table up this way. I kid you not. Because I looked back there and I thought, oh my, so far. And the smell of the food just, oh, I thought, oh. I smiled and said, well, happy birthday. And they said, I'm so glad you came. And I thought, I wish I was glad I came. Oh, but when I ordered my food and put my fork into the salad, some kind of salad I had, I was totally healed. Now, if I'd have stayed home, I had the word of God at the house. I knew what God had said. I knew the plan of God. I knew the will of God. Faith had a beginning. But faith has to be rooted and grounded. And what roots faith and grounds faith is your constant meditation and then your action based on what you know. Take action. Get out of the boat, Peter. Get out. Now, Israel heard, but when she came to the promised land, she knew that was their land. God had said, I've given you the promised land. We could go through the Old Testament, read how many times he had said it to how many people had quoted it to her. She knew that. She was sure of that. That was God's will. It was his plan. There was no doubt about it. When they came to the edge of the river, they said, we're not going. She didn't act or respond. She has to act. She has to know. It says, didn't they hear? This is what's so beautiful about Romans 10. Didn't they hear? It said, yes, they heard. What happened? They didn't act. They didn't respond. They didn't obey. Now, your first response is always what you say. What you say is an action. Now, look at James. Where does faith begin? Begin. Where does it begin? Where the will of God is known. Where the word of God is honored. And it's not a casual acquaintance with the word. It's not a glance at the word. It's constant meditation. It's continual meditation on the word of God. It's holding it so tight. You know, you hold your children, especially your little ones. You try to hold your bigger ones, but they won't stay. But you hold your little ones so tight to you because you don't want them to be hurt or injured. You want to do for them what's best for them because they're not acquainted with life and with the world and with the things. Stuff that they'll encounter. So you hold them very close. See, and I hold this word very close to me because it is going to be the beginning, the foundation of my victory. But I've got to trust the foundation and build my house, build my life on that foundation. Now, James chapter 2. This is not talking about faith that saves. It's not talking about being born again. When you read James, you'll see chapter 2. It begins with what? My brethren. Chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my brethren. He's talking to Christians. They're already born again. They're already saved. I want to clarify this because it confuses some people. He's not talking about getting saved. These people are saved. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of works. It is. Now, when he says, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? Now the answer is no, faith doesn't save you. That's an accumulation of facts and data, knowing what God has said. Can you be saved, delivered, set free because you know it's the will of God? Not unless you act or respond. Now it says, here's the example they give. This is only example to prove that faith requires action. Faith begins with the word. It begins by meditating in the word. It begins by knowing the word. It begins by clinging to the word. Just like Peter, I heard all the last several days as I'd meditate. Here comes Jesus, and he's walking on the water, and he'll help you to stand, and he won't let you fall. You know that song? But all of that wisdom that Jesus had that was accessible by Peter was no good to Peter. Until he heard and responded, until he heard and did, until he acted. He could have sat in the boat and said, well, I know he told me to get out. Okay, here's the example. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now there's the example. You come and you're starving to death, and I say, be filled. And you leave starving. Have I helped you? Have I benefited you? Have I promoted your victory? Did I know what you needed? Did I know the will of God? Did I know what would have brought you victory? I know you need food. You need food. You need food. There's no doubt. There's nothing wrong with my hearing or my eyesight. I see you. You are hungry. You need food. I have heard. But guess what? I didn't even offer you a dollar. The other day at a restaurant, we were with a group of people, and a man on the outside was begging for money. He wanted $1, $1, $2, $2. He was like an auctioneer. Give me two, just one, just one, just give me one. And they were willing to feed him. And they said, we will feed you. Come in with us, we'll feed you. Well, he thought about it a minute and decided he would. But see, a lot of times they won't. They leave. I know a gentleman who stops and offers these will work for food. He has his own company, and he has small jobs that they can do, and he offers over and over again. He told me this. Over and over again, he stopped his truck and said, "You get in the truck. I'll bring you back this afternoon to this very spot where I picked you up. I've got some work for you to do, and I will pay you and feed you." And you know they won't come. No, they won't come. He said, never had a single one willing to come, not one. And he's been doing that for years. See, it's not what you know. It's not what you know. It's what you do about what you know. Having done all, have you done all? Have you done? Have you done? Well, it says, I know what to do here. Here's the word, but I haven't done it. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Being alone. Now, that word dead is very important. Faith is dead without action. Something's dead, it's not moving, it's not working, it's not growing, it's not responding, it's not goal-oriented, it's not successful, it's not helpful. Right? Mm-hmm. You have a tree that's dead in your yard, and you look at it, and you check it out, and it is genuinely dead. It's not ever going to have green leaves. It's not ever going to have fruit. It says faith without action is dead. In other words, if I don't respond... See, and as I go to the Holy Ghost, a lot of times he tells me what to do. Oh, he's such a wonderful helper for the church. He was given for the benefit of the church. I know to meditate. You know, one gentleman, I heard him give his testimony. He was sick for a long time. This isn't your testimony. This is his testimony. This has nothing to do with your dietary habits. This is his testimony, okay? Say, this is his testimony. Because if anybody does something successful, 25 other people are going to do that same thing. But the Lord didn't say this to you. The Lord said this to him. Told him exactly what food he was eating. He said he went off on vacation and he's going to meditate and think about, ask the Lord why he's not healed. He said he'd quoted the scripture, meditated in the scripture, done everything he knew to do. He'd stood, he'd kept going to work, you know. He'd acted as much as he could, but it wasn't working. So he went on vacation. He said, I'm going to spend my vacation. I'm going to say, now, Lord, what to do? What to do? I'm not getting my healing. I should be getting. I'm not getting what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord spoke to him and says, don't eat anymore. Told him exactly. I won't tell you so you won't be confused. Told him what not to eat. Now, the Lord didn't say that to you. Said that to him. You know when he got well? Didn't eat that anymore. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He gives his word and he sent his word to heal. But he sends the Holy Ghost to personalize that word, to say what would help you. Just like he said, you need surgery. You need to take this medicine. You need this doctor. Oh, he's so good to help us. He said, you've got to act. You've got to respond. But faith begins where? You know, a lot of people are acting and responding. They don't have any word under them. I've seen that happen over and over again. There's two things. People with no word are acting. They're responding. I mean, they're doing something. So why are you doing that? I don't know. What'd God say? I don't know. What scripture are you standing on? I don't know. You know, action without faith, without the word of faith, ain't going to work. It's like plugging in your coffee pot to perk. You know, we used to perk those. And not putting the coffee in it. You're going to have hot water, but you don't have coffee. You don't have anything without the word. Where does faith begin? Where does it begin? Is that the end of it, though? No. Then what do you got to do? Can you act without the word?
No.
See, if I have the word, and then I begin to quote that word, the first action I always take is repeating the word. Meditation is an action. I meditate in that word. I think about it. I ponder. I hold it real close over and over again. I say, God, send his word and heal me. I used to ride my bicycle and sing because I like to sing. Singing penetrates my heart better than I sing. I just make it up. I'm not a singer and I'm not a songwriter. But who cares? And I'd sing, he sent his word and heal me. He sent his word and heal me. He sent his word and heal me. And I believe I'm well. He sent his word and heal me. He sent his word and heal me. He sent his word. And you understand, I'm not riding on the road. I'm riding at my house. You know, standing bicycle. Sang it over and over again. Why? Faith begins. Faith begins. Faith begins. Faith begins. Faith begins. Faith begins. Having done all. See, then you got to take action. You got to quote that word. And then there are other things you can do. Depend upon your situation. then God will speak to you. Say, don't eat this, or have that surgery, or lose 10 pounds, or take up some exercise. See, God has a word for you. I don't have a word for you. Don't even ask. I don't have a word for you. But God does. God does. God does. Then what are you going to do with that word? Say, yeah, I heard you. Yeah, I knew that. You're going to act. You're going to respond. What happens with faith with no works, no action? Do you know this chapter says that three times? You know why God said that three times? Wanted to be sure we got it. Then he says, verse 20, thou, O vain man, know that faith without works is dead. Do you see that word vain? Anything that's vain is not profitable. It's empty, it's futile, it means you wasted your time. You know, we say that. We'll go run an errand and say, did you get it? You say, oh, no, that was in vain. Isn't that what we say? It means it was a waste of time. It wasn't profitable. You didn't get the thing you went for. It didn't work out for you. You say, oh, that was in vain. He said, faith without action is in vain. In other words, I don't get any results. In spite of the fact that you may have known the word. People either don't know the word or they are acting without the word. It's that combination. Now here it says, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being what? What is that word? You know what you know has to be coupled with what you do. Years ago, the Lord dealt with me and said, faith and works are partners. What you know and what you do are partners. It says, faith without works has no partner. That's what that verse says. Faith without works has no partner. You know you can't dance without a partner. First dancing I ever did was in the church. And I remember the old saying, don't write this down, it's a terrible old saying. It says, a praying knee and a dancing foot would never be found on the same leg. Have you heard that? That's not true. Now here it is again, verse 26 in a different way. As the body without the spirit is dead. You know, when you die, your spirit leaves your physical body. And I'm going to just tell you, ain't nothing happening after that. Not on earth. Not with the physical body. I mean, it is over. So faith without works is dead. Now that's three times. Faith has no partner without works. Faith is dead without works. Faith is profitless without works. Faith is vain without works. Faith fails to function without works. Have you ever hired a workman, though? You're watching them work and you're paying them by the hour and they don't look like they know what they're doing. Has that ever happened to you? It's really scary, isn't it? You're thinking. You know, when I hang over, I say, does that look right to you? Oh, yeah, yeah. You're thinking, I don't think so. Faith in who are the partners that make us successful? Faith and works. Now it uses Abraham as an example. We'll finish with this. Verse 22, see that how faith wrought with his works, talking about Abraham, and by works was made faith made perfect. You see that word perfect? The word perfect does not be without fault or flaw, because nobody is perfect. Everybody has fault or flaw. But it means be mature, to be complete. Faith requires something to complete it. What does faith require to complete it? Action. I love that. How faith wrought with works, by works was made perfect. Now, does Abraham know what God said? Is he going to be victorious because he knows what God said? But what if God hadn't said anything? See, a lot of people are acting, God hadn't said a word. They go buy a house. I know God didn't say a thing. I say, this is my house. Would you agree with me that they'll sell me this house, that they'll accept my bid, and I agree with them? Next thing I know, they say, they're over here. They say, I found the prettiest house on whatever street. And I said, weren't we over on whosoever street? What happened to the house on whosoever street? Oh, no, that wasn't God. I thought, you told me that was God. I know they acted before they heard. I know they acted before they heard. Because if that was your house on whosoever street, if somebody else buys it, they're going to paint it your color and put it back on the market and sell it to you. If it's yours, nobody Do you want a stranger living in your house?
No.
You don't want a stranger living in your body? If God ever spoke to me and said, that was my house, I'd stand there by that for sale sign until the person that bought it decided they hated it. Because God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? God didn't say that to your house and change his mind. He doesn't say you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and change his mind. He doesn't say by Jesus' stripes you are healed and change his mind. He doesn't say I sent my word and heal you and change his mind. He has spoken. If I know what's spoken, I know what to do about it. I begin to say, thank God by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I'm so glad he sent his word to heal me. I'm so glad no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's my first action. It may not be my only action. Just like that day I felt prompted to go to the birthday party. Now see, God may not prompt you. He may say, you know, you just sit here and listen to your tapes all morning. God doesn't speak to us all alike. He knows you. He knows what will work for you. He may say, don't go. Call and tell him you're very sorry you can't come. And turn on your tape player and listen to tape 32 55 times. And that will work for you, just like going to the party worked for me. See, God knows you. What do you need? Have you done all? Have you done all? See, the fact that Abraham knew to sacrifice Isaac. Turn back there. Let's read it before we quit. Oh, it's so important. Well, we have to come back and read James one more time, too. Isn't God good to us to give us his word? Isn't he wonderful? Is that in chapter 22 of Genesis? Seems like it is. Verse 2. God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. When did Abraham obey? Very next day, early in the morning. He heard from God. He said, all right. See, God was aware that was an only son. God was aware he adored that son. He said, take your son that you love. See, God understood all that. So Abraham heard, and it says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac. Quick to obey, once you've heard. Once you've heard. You know, some sick people watch too much TV. I know if God begins to speak to you, he'll say, you know, you got to spend more time in the Word, less time on TV. Do you know those hunks on TV aren't coming to help you? I got news for you. John Wayne's not coming. The Lone Ranger's not coming. I have another flash. Benny Hinn's not coming.
That's right.
Kenneth Copeland either. And we reverence them. We respect them. They put out good word. But you have to have time with God. The fact that I know what God said is not going to help you. You have to know. Sometimes people will come to you about prayer and you know what God has said. I just know. You just almost would be certain, 99% sure. And you'd almost open your mouth. But it isn't good for people. You can't lead people by your spirit. It's not the will of God. So I'd say, have you thought this through? And if I was real sure you're heading the wrong direction, I'd say, you know, would you spend a couple more days and pray about it? I sense we need to pray some more about this before we do anything. I'm trying to put brakes on you. I'm trying to say, pay attention here. You may have not heard correctly. Oh, thank God we can help one another. But see, once you know what you know, once you're sure, once you're certain, we don't take a word from the Lord to find out if you're healed. You are. It's already in here. It's written. It's written. And I meditate in that. Now what I do? Having done all, now what I do? Some people are standing naked, though, just as naked as they can be. They haven't clothed themselves with the word. They haven't clothed themselves with righteousness. They haven't clothed themselves with the truth. They don't have on their helmet of salvation. They haven't put the shoes of peace on their feet. They've got absolutely nothing on. They've taken no time to meditate in the word and get themselves ready to act. And they're trying to act without their armor. Get in there and get in the word and meditate. Meditate. And then what? Meditation is the
beginning.
Faith begins. Faith what?
Begins.
It what?
Begins.
It what?
Begins.
Well, you're like me. You have projects. You ever begun something? Never finished it? You intended to finish it? I throw everything out. Don't keep anything too long. But I was cleaning out some drawers because we need more office space. My office is in every room of the house. So we're cleaning out some drawers and thought, I'll clean out these drawers. I haven't cleaned out these in a while. And I found some cross stitch. Dr. Hagen and I used to cross stitch. He'd talk and I'd cross stitch. I've cross stitched hours and hours and hours. And he's talked hours and hours and hours. That's what we used to do before the holes got so small. That cross-stitching was. And then I got me a big magnifying light, and after a while I thought, no, this is not working. But I cross-stitched. You know, I found some of that. You know, half finished. I did begin it. They never finish it. You know why it's not on the wall? It's not finished. You know why it's not finished? I quit. Is there anything wrong with my beginning? I got the pattern, I got the material, I got the colors, I got the thread. I got them in the right hole so far, but guess what? And then I found a rug. You know, one of those that you hook yourself. You know why it's not on the floor? Nobody finished it. That was not my project, by the way, so I just want to put out this disclaimer. I was not the one that started the rug. I found the rug. You know why we're not using the rug? Did we begin? Then what happened?
Quit.
You know why we quit? Thought it was too hard. Does that really hurt your fingers to pull that heavy thread through that and put it looping? So it was a little painful. It required a little discipline, a little effort. Guess what people do? You know, meditation takes discipline. I get up a lot of days. If you ask me, do you want to read your scripture today? I'd say, nope, I think I'll go antiquing. Say discipline. Begin. So did you visit your mother today? I started to. I thought about it. Was I thought you were going to carry your mother that? I was. What happened? Got sidetracked. Did I begin? Did I have a plan? What happened to my plan? I meditated. I thought, this is a really good day to carry that to your mother. She wanted that. Let's just take it over there. And guess what? I didn't do it. Well, where are you going to begin? Where are you going to begin? Where are you going to begin? And then what are you going to do? Faith without works is... Faith without works is... Faith that works is also vain. Vain, dead. Faith that works is without a partner. Shh. Talking about Israel says, didn't they hear? He said, yeah, they heard. Did you hear? Are you going to do what you heard? Yes. So my son, attend to my words. It just means pay attention. And it says, hear ye the instruction of a father. Hear, pay attention. Listen, pay attention. Well, father's instruction's no good if nobody's going to obey. Mothers and fathers say, didn't I tell you to pick that up? It's not picked up. Why not? See, if I read the scripture and it says, forsake not, let's get personal, okay? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. This doesn't apply to us. We're here. A lot of people, first thing they do when they're in trouble, they quit coming. The scripture says, forsake not, forsake not, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Then it goes on to say, as the manner of some is. In other words, it says some people are going to do this, but don't you do it. The manner of some is to forsake the assembly. The manner of some is to not be there, but don't you do that. You be there. Now, what am I going to do with that word? You ever come to church, didn't really feel like it? You know, a lot of times if I could come in my robe and slippers, I'd have been all right. It was my three-piece suit. I just thought, just can't deal with that. But the word says what? Forsake not. It says what? So you've got to hear and what? Got to hear and what?
Obey.
Obey. Act. And once again, what happens? Faith without works is what?
Dead.
See, if nothing's working, things appear to be dead, you need to go back and check if you're working. If you're adding works to your faith. If you're partnered up with heaven's deeds, heaven's word, heaven's command. Becky's obedience. And here's the other thing that I'll just say while I'm just telling everything I know. It's not always makes sense to you. See, we like things to really make sense. We like to have real understanding. Sometimes what God says, you think that made sense to Abraham? He had all that figured out to offer Isaac? You think he thought, oh, of course. See, we want things to be logical. We want things to be reasonable. No, when God has spoken, Now, don't be weird. One lady told me the Lord said, to go to a particular park and sit on the park bench all day long. Now, as much as that might have been the Lord, I said, and so what did the Lord want you to do all day? What are you planning to do while you're sitting out there? She's just sitting. She didn't carry her Bible. There wasn't anybody else in the park. Lord didn't speak to her while she's there. Her husband spoke to her, called her several times to come home. And that's exactly what she should have done. Don't do something dumb. Don't do something weird. Hear God. Know it's God. And obey God. And if you're not sure it's God, wait till you are sure. Some things disappear. They seem like God. I've had this happen, then I heard somebody say it recently. It helped me so much. Some things, they just really seem like God. And before you can act or respond, or you're trying to decide how to act, how to respond, it disappears. It's just what it was there. You thought it was there. You thought it was God. And it disappears. If it disappears, you know what? It wasn't God. Forget it. So I was sure it was God. You were wrong. Isn't that right? Because God begins to work and he begins to draw you and he begins to repeat himself. It's like a magnet. Things just begin to line up and he begins to draw you and draw you and draw you. And if it was God on Monday, on Wednesday, there's still a sense of God. On Friday, there's still a sense of God. And after a while, if the time comes close, there's a heaviness. There's an urgency. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. And it comes not from the head, not from logic and reason, but from the heart. See, what God tells you to do is not going to be weird. There's no purpose in sitting on a park bench all day long. Least she could have done is carried her Bible and read something. See, but on the inside, I know. On the inside, I knew you can go to this birthday party. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. I knew that. Hear and obey. Now, it's not obedience without hearing. It's partnership. Say it's a partnership.
Partnership.
It's a partnership.
Partnership.
It's a partnership.
Partnership.
It's a partnership.
Partnership.
To hear the word.
To hear
from heaven.
To hear from heaven.
To meditate in the word.
To
quote the word.
To
speak the word.
Speak the word.
And to do whatever else. I'm certain I'm prompted to do. Now we agree together, Father, Father, for everyone here, including ourselves, that we'll be diligent hearers, that we'll bend our ear, hearken diligently, listen very carefully to what you have to say. We intend for the word to be revelation to us. We intend to hold fast to it and meditate in it. We make that commitment, our Father, to you, to be a better reader, a better meditator, a better hearer of the word. And then, our Father, let not one person be deceived or confused by something weird or flaky, but everybody that meditates and confesses knows exactly how to proceed further if there's other things to do. We thank you, our Father. Oh, that the word will be clear and the hearing will be clear and the spirit will be near and the victory will be certain. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.